May the peace of the living God be with you all. Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent. Fourth Sunday of Lent. And so we are in the period of Lent, and today's theme fits right in it. And the theme for our reflection this morning is reconciliation. Reconciliation. Let us pray. Lord, we have gathered here. We hunger for your word. We've come to listen to your word, Lord. Speak, for your servants are ready to hear you. Father, I'm an instrument in your hand. Use me to speak your unadulterated word and prepare every heart that is here to receive what you have for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, I pray, amen. Beloved, reconciliation is an embodiment of God's hope for a fractured world. God created us to be in a right relationship with Him, with people, with creation, and with ourselves. Our happiness and fulfillment are determined by the quality of our relationships, whether it's a relationship with God or a relationship with other people. Reconciliation brings hope. Reconciliation brings healing. And it resonates deeply in the Christian faith and extends to all humanity. Reconciliation at its core, beloved, is about mending broken relationships. If we don't have broken relationships, there'll be nothing like reconciliation. And so it is about mending broken relationships both with God and with one another. In our second scripture reading, reconciliation or some form of it is mentioned five times. Five times it's mentioned, and therefore it's very important. The Bible highlights reconciliation as the harmonious restoration of relationship with God that provides the means by which barriers between people can be overcome. Tanzania enye wonya nku botum enya good relationship na chere ede enye wonya me won ntem oyey clear. Amen. So the first thing I want to ask to know, the first point I have, is that we are called to a ministry of reconciliation as Christians. Amen. Sin has created a rift between us and God, and among ourselves, leading to conflict, division, and broken relationships. This separation from God prevents us from having fellowship with Him. Because God is too holy to be close to sin. And He is too holy to have anything to do with sin. So if you look, there is something that is very deadly. In fact, the deadliest of all things, of all viruses. I know when we had COVID-19, a lot of us were scared, right? People were dying. And we didn't know what to do. Some of us took the vaccination to kind of boost our system and be able to withstand the virus. But there is none that is deadliest. There is no virus that is deadliest than the sin virus. You know why? Coronavirus can kill your physical being, right? you would die. If you don't, if you catch it and you're not, you don't have good immune system. But as for the sin virus, it will kill you physically and it will kill you spiritually. You understand that? You feel me? It will kill you physically and spiritually. So that's the deadliest virus. That's sin, the sin virus. But thank God, there is a cure for that. Amen? There is a cure for that. So you don't have to worry. There is a cure for that. God has made it possible based upon his wonderful word, reconciliation, for us sinners to be reconnected to himself. See, the term reconciliation defines what we are all about as Christians. In fact, you will notice in the second scripture that we read, verse 18, that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God gave us that ministry of reconciliation. And at the end of the verse 19, it says that he has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, and he has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. In verse 20, it also says that we are ambassadors. I want you to pay very careful attention to what I'm telling you this morning, because I'm going to, at the end of it, connect it to ourselves. So listen attentively. We are ambassadors. That is, we take the message of reconciliation, right? We take the word reconciliation. We take that ministry of reconciliation to a world that knows it not. That's what we live to do as Christians. The second point is reconciliation is made possible by the will of God. Reconciliation is made possible by the will of God. See, from a human standpoint, there is no way, it's impossible for us to be reconnected to God. From a human perspective, there's nothing a sinner can do that will cause him or her to be reconciled with God. If there is going to be any reconciliation at all, it's going to have to come from God. And therefore, reconciliation is by the will of God. In verse 17 of the second scripture, because I'm focusing on the second scripture, just so you know, Paul has talked about being a new creation. And then in the verse 18, he writes, all this is from God. All this is from God. Salvation is from God. God is a saving God by his nature. It's very important that we understand this. There is nothing we can do to satisfy the just wrath of a holy God. There is nothing we can do to change our nature. We are born sinful. There is nothing we can do to make ourselves acceptable to him. There is nothing we can do to be worthy in his sight. Even in our righteousness, for the Bible says your righteousness is as filthy rag before the Lord. Therefore, if any change in our relationship with God has to happen, it has to come from him. We cannot do that. We cannot in ourselves get up and say, I'm going to be reconciled with God. But we have a role to play, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But God has devised a means. Hallelujah. God has devised a means by which we can be reconciled to Him. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We are offenders who can absolutely do nothing to be reconciled to God except by His will, and He has made the means by which we can be reconciled to Him, and that is the wonderful part of the gospel. He has devised a means of reconciliation. We cannot devise a means of reconciliation with God. And that is not foreign in God's nature. The next point is that reconciliation is made possible by an act of forgiveness. Are you with me? Reconciliation is not made possible except by the will of God. That's the first point we made. And it is made possible by an act of forgiveness. Verse 19 of our second scripture says, God is able to reconcile the world to Himself by not counting their sins against them, by not imputing their sins against them, by not counting their trespasses against them. In other words, the only possible way for a sinner to be reconciled to God is if God doesn't take their sins into account. The only way God can reconcile the world of sinners is to forgive them through the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Blessed is the man, says Romans 4:8, whose sin the Lord will not take into account. So count yourself blessed. Amen. Psalm 32 verse 2 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. The bottom line here is this: our God is a God who reconciles by His will and through the amazing act of forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The next point is reconciliation is made possible by the obedience of faith. Reconciliation, remember, is by the will of God. It is by the forgiveness or the act of forgiveness and also by the obedience of faith. While God initiates the reconciliation, we have a part to play. And our part is to respond in faith. Amen. God desires that we are reconciled with Him. And He has created the means for us to be reconciled through His Son, Jesus Christ. But we have to believe in Him. So we have a role to play. See, God is very smart, smarter than everything and anything. He knows that if it was up to you, you would go bragging. And I mean, yes, see. And so He's taking all that. He says, I will sacrifice my Son that you will be reconciled unto me. And all I want you to do is to believe in Him, so that you can't go bragging None of that. So we cannot boast. Hallelujah. Amen. How can God, who is so holy, overlook sin? Probably somebody is thinking that way. God wants us to believe in His Son. Salvation is by faith and faith alone. Sola fide. Salvation is by faith and faith alone. And therefore, if you do not believe, if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, there is no salvation for you. Unless a person believes, they will never have reconciliation with God. That's plain and simple. So the next point then after that is that reconciliation is made possible by the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? So all of this brings us to the most important thing, the heart and soul of the Christian gospel. A God that is holy, a God that is pure, wants to have reconciliation with us sinners. How can He be so gracious and loving and merciful and kind? The answer is in the verse 21 of the second scripture reading, a verse that defines the doctrine of salvation. But He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that beautiful? God has made a way. He made Him that knew no sin to become sin, that we may have righteousness in God through Him. Look at the testimony in the New Testament concerning Jesus. In Hebrews, it says that Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Even Pilate said, "I find no fault in Him." I find no fault in Him. No one could come up with a legitimate indictment against Christ. Perhaps the greatest testimony of them all comes from the Father, who says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Christ was sinless, and God made Him no sin, even though He knew no sin. Even though He knew no sin. So all the lashes that He received were lashes that you and I should have received. Bonaneye wo darkness munyina no. You chasing me say for them. Yeah, no man sa dama. Yeah, who's cigarette? So we should have received all those lashes. We should have received those lashes, but Jesus received them for us. He was slapped. We should have been slapped. But He was slapped on our behalf. God allowed Jesus Christ to face all the fury that He had against you and I. He gave it all to Him. This is grace. This is by grace.
Brought Jesus home. brought Jesus home, say, brought Jesus home, say, no better. Oh, brought Jesus home, they say, brought Jesus home, say.
As if you passed every trial, as if you were righteous in every relationship, as if you were righteous in every thought, as if you were righteous in every deed. Indeed, this is salvation, and this is the word reconciliation. We are also expected to be reconciled to one another. So just as God reconciled us to himself, we are called to reconcile with one another those who have wronged us, those with whom we have conflicts. Forgiveness is essential in reconciliation, beloved, allowing us to release ourselves from the burden, from the chains of resentment. Reconciliation is an active word. It is not a passive word. It involves actively seeking to mend broken relationships, communicating, listening, and working towards understanding and healing. If we have wronged others, let us seek forgiveness from them and make amends. If others have wronged us, let us seek to forgive them. See, how many of you lied this morning? Truly, how many of you lied this morning when we said the Lord's Prayer? How many of you said, "As I forgive those who trespass against me"? How many of you said that? Yet you have grudges with each other. Whether the person is in here or outside, I don't care whether they are believers or unbelievers. How many of you lied in God's presence without even knowing that you were lying? See, we are sinful by nature. Even in our prayer, we lie to God. May God forgive us and have mercy upon us. Amen. Let us be reconciled to one another as followers of Christ, as ambassadors of Christ, as ambassadors of Christ. Let us seek forgiveness from one another. Let us extend forgiveness to one another. It is our duty. It is our responsibility as followers of Christ, as ambassadors of Christ, to tell people they can be reconciled with God and with ourselves. Amen? That's our mission. That's what we live to do. It is our responsibility to be reconciled with one another. So tell me, let's say still, you bear a grudge against a brother or a sister. Are you a follower? Are you an ambassador? Say, right? I want you to go out there to the world and tell them the word of reconciliation, that they can be reconciled to Christ, to God, through Christ. They can be reconciled to one another. And let us practice reconciliation, that the world may know that indeed we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us. Father, grant us the courage and the love to pursue reconciliation with you and with each other, that the world may know and come to follow you. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.